Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 10 of Revelation chapter 8. And we're continuing to look at verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. As we've been looking at this verse in our last couple of studies, we've seen that this is signaling the beginning of the Great Tribulation, the time when judgment began at the house of God, and God relates or ties together the judgment on the church with the judgment of the plagues that came upon Egypt. And also, we were spending some time looking at the phrase, the third part. And we saw that in three places in the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel chapter 8, in the first two verses, in 2 Kings chapter 1, and in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, the third part identifies with God's elect. It is the third part, the captain and his 50, that are spared, their lives are spared. And the other two captains and his 50 were burned up. It is two full lines that were put to death of Moabites and one full line that was spared and lived to be servants of David. It was two-thirds that were cut off in the land and one-third that was brought through the fire that were the people of God. So we have all kinds of biblical support showing that the third part relates to God's elect. Well, then we don't understand what is going on here in Revelation 8. The third part of trees was burned up. It says in verse 8, the third part of the sea became blood. In verse 9, the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and so on. 11 times we read of the third part in Revelation chapter 8, and we cannot say that in any of these instances that it is something positive or something good where we would think that God's elect are in view. As a matter of fact, we are certain that there is no possibility that God's elect could be in view based upon this language of destruction, of being destroyed. The third part of trees was burned up. That's quite different from the third part that goes through the fire and endures. Or it's different than the captain and his 50 that were not burned up as the other two captains and their 50 were burned up from fire that fell from heaven. And so we are very clear that the third part in Revelation 8 is not telling us about God's elect. Well, how can we understand this then? We understand it by the realization that during the church age, during the 1955 years of the church age, from 33 AD until 1988 AD, God's elect, which identify with the third part, were found within the churches and congregations. If you wanted to find God's elect, you would find them there in the churches of the world. Therefore, the church, the corporate church, began to take on that same identification. And God here is letting us know that when the church age ends and judgment begins upon the people called by his name, well, the place where the third part were found, historically for almost 2,000 years, that is the place of judgment. It is the judgment on the churches. And it's also true that God's elect were within the churches during the first several years of the judgment upon them. But they themselves weren't harmed. They weren't injured at all. You can't injure someone who has received eternal life. God's elect are never being punished because they've already paid the price of their sins in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God is using the figure that he had to relate to his elect only in the Old Testament here in Revelation 8 to identify with those that were closely related to them, to the professed believers, the professed Christians found within the churches and congregations of the world. Well, we see in Revelation 8, verse 7, in the second part of the verse, and the third part of trees was burned up. Well, let's look at trees and see what could be in view. Why is God telling us that the third part of trees were burned up? We read in Joel chapter 1. And Joel 1 is a chapter that describes the judgment upon the churches. Joel 2, as we read of a devouring army that goes forth and they enter in at the windows like a thief, is describing judgment day. And so Joel 1 focuses on judgment that begins at the house of God. Joel chapter 2, in the first 11 or 12 verses, describes the transition of that judgment to the world. And in Joel 1, it says in verse 6, "For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He has laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He has made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white." Now this is referring to the assault of the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar at the beginning of that assault, when Babylon came against Judah. And God is relating Judah to a fig tree. And this in turn, spiritually, is describing Satan's assault against the church, the corporate church at the time of the end. And therefore, the church also would be identified as the fig tree. It goes on to say in verse 10 of Joel 1, "The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men." And in these verses, God is describing the ruined harvest that is found within the churches as the Great Tribulation began and a time of famine struck the churches of the world. Not a famine of bread and water, but a famine of hearing the word of God. This is using language of harvesting and fruit and so forth in order to teach us about the spiritual harvest that is ruined within the churches and congregations at the time of the end. The vine is dried up, the fig tree languisheth, all the trees of the field are withered. Why? Because joy is is withered away from the sons of men. Now, why would the removal of joy, the taking away of joy, have anything to do with an actual harvest? Why would joy being withered away from the sons of men mean that trees and plants are withered away? Literally, it doesn't. It has nothing to do with it. But once we understand that God is likening the spiritual crop of salvation within the churches to the joy of the sons of men withering away, then it makes perfect sense, because joy, according to the Bible, has to do with salvation. There is joy in heaven when a single sinner repents. The joy relates to salvation. And when joy is withered away from the sons of men, that indicates there is no salvation. There is no fruit that is being brought in. No sinners that are becoming saved. Now in Joel 2, God gives us further information in verse 22 and in verse 23. And in these verses, he's going to describe his program of times and seasons. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in Jehovah your God. For he has given you the former rain moderately or righteously, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first, or as the first. And then I'll read verse 24. Also, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Here God is talking of a plentiful harvest, and that's in contrast to what we're reading in Joel 1. And the reason is that God is describing the harvest of the church in Joel chapter 1. And in Joel 2, when he speaks of the latter rain, he's describing the harvest that will take place outside of the churches in the world as God saves that great multitude out of the great tribulation. And that's why on one hand we can read the harvest is withered, it's destroyed, it's gone. And on the other hand, in the very next chapter, God speaks of floors being full of wheat and fats overflowing with wine and oil, an abundant harvest. And that's exactly what happened during the 23-year Great Tribulation period. A church harvest that brought forth nothing. There was no one being saved within any church in the world. And a harvest outside of the churches over the last about 17 years when the latter rain was being poured out that brought in much. And so we can see what God is saying here. But as far as our verse in Revelation 8, we're interested in trees because it says the third part of trees was burned up. And we know Revelation 8:7 is describing the judgment on the church, the third part, at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, and that judgment would continue throughout. And likewise, Joel 1 is describing the same thing, the judgment that begins at the house of God. And Joel 1 verse 12 speaks of trees. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. All the trees are withered is basically another way of saying they're all burned up. In either case, they're not going to produce fruit. If the third part of trees, and again, the third part identifies with all trees within every church. If the third part of trees are burned up, then you'll have no fruit from those trees. And if all the trees, as Joel 1:12 is saying, are withered, well, they're dried up. They likewise have no fruit, and there is no salvation that is taking place. Now, we also have an interesting verse in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 21 that draws from the verse in Joel concerning the trees. In Luke 21 and in verse 29, and this is the chapter that is parallel to Matthew chapter 24. And in this chapter is the Lord Jesus answering the disciples' question, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And in Luke 21, verse 29, it says, and he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. Now that's something a little different that we do not read in Matthew 24 or in Mark 13. What I mean is that in Matthew 24, it says in verse 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. It just mentions the fig tree. Same thing in Mark. We only read of the fig tree. And so, naturally, we understand that Israel identifies with the fig tree, and therefore, we can see how Israel being in leaf or becoming a nation again amongst the nations of the world after almost 2,000 years of being scattered, as they did in the year 1948, Israel became a nation and still exists over in the Middle East. And so that must be what God has in view, because he speaks of the fig tree being in leaf. But there is an additional statement that Luke 21 gives us. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they, in Luke 21, 30, notice it's plural, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So it's not just the fig tree, it's the apple tree and the pomegranate tree, as we read back in Joel. It is all the trees of the field. And these trees identify with Israel of old and the New Testament church. The fig tree and all the trees, yes, they can identify with Israel, and we can understand and learn that, yes, God is giving us a great signal in the Bible when he speaks of the fig tree being in leaf, and then we see that Israel did become a nation again, unheard of for something like that to happen. Nations that are scattered for almost two millennium, they normally do not form as a nation again. I don't know if that's ever happened before, and become a nation amongst the nations of the world. So that is certainly a big indicator. But just as Israel in the Bible represents the church, we can understand the reference to the fig tree being in leaf to be a reference to the New Testament church as well. And just as Israel is without fruit, they're in leaf, there's no fruit on the tree, they have not turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Likewise, when we get to the point when the New Testament churches and the congregations fall away and they become apostate, and the man of sin takes his seat in the temple, showing himself that he is God, that is a big sign from the Bible, from the Word of God. It's not a sign anywhere else, but we read about it in the Scriptures. That is a big sign that summer is nigh, and summer identifies with harvest, and harvest with the end of the world. And so the fig tree and all the trees, by letting us know that God's referring to all the trees, it directs us back to Joel 1. And then we can see in that context of Joel 1 that it's referring to the assault of the Babylonians. It's referring to the judgment that came out of the north, and that in turn identifies with the assault of the devil, the beast that rises out of the sea at the time of the end. And it is describing God's judgment upon the churches. So therefore, behold the fig tree. Yes, learn from Israel. Take note. And certainly when that occurs, keep your eyes open. Look around. We're very close. But then, once the fig tree and all the trees, once they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. When the church is without fruit, when the congregations no longer have any fruit within them, then the end of the world is right there. You're right at the end. Well, we can see what God is saying by the third part of the trees and why he's referring to them. The third part of the trees was burn up. Now let's look at this word burnt in a couple of places in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, the same Greek word is used. And this is in the parable of the wheat and the tares. In Matthew 13, I'll start reading in verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now here we find that the wheat and the tares were to grow together, and this is referring to the entire church age. They were not to be gathered up, but in the time of harvest. In the time of harvest, the tares were to be bound in bundles to burn them. And that's what we're reading in Revelation 8:7 of the third part of the trees. Remember, the trees are an indicator of summer being near. And summer is a synonym for harvest. And here in explaining this parable, beginning in verse 37 of Matthew 13, we read, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now the process of separating the wheat from the tares got underway during the time of the Great Tribulation. That's when God opened up the scriptures to reveal that the church age was over and that his people were to depart out of the congregations, to leave their church behind, and this began the bundling process. But it would not be until the end of the Great Tribulation, until it could be determined who were officially tares, because at any point someone could have left their church up until May 21, 2011, when the Great Tribulation period ended. And yet on that date, and after the Great Tribulation came to a close, well, then it was determined. Then the process of separating the wheat and the tares was complete, and then the tares could be cast into the fire. The third part would be burned. And so when we read in Revelation 8:7 that the first angel or messenger sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. This is really describing something that began to take effect but would not be completed until Judgment Day came, and then the third part could be finally destroyed.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.